Infidelity represents one of life's most devastating emotional earthquakes. The moment of discovery, when evidence of a partner's affair comes to light, instantly shatters a shared reality. Yet despite being universally condemned, affairs persist across all cultures and throughout history. This contradiction reveals something fundamental about human nature and relationships. For nearly three decades, I've explored the complex landscape of love and desire. What I've found challenges our cultural scripts about infidelity. Affairs aren't simply moral failings or relationship death sentences. They're complex human experiences that force us to confront unsettling questions about commitment, desire, and identity. Most affairs involve ordinary people with ordinary values who never imagined crossing boundaries they held sacred. Their stories typically stem from loneliness, sexual deadness, or craving attention rather than pathological behavior. When couples come to me after an affair, I tell them, "Your first marriage is over. Would you like to create a second one together?" This framing acknowledges both the devastation and the possibility that follows betrayal. While our culture once stigmatized divorce, today, choosing to stay when you can leave carries its own shame, a rush to judgment that makes no allowance for human error, repair, or growth. Marriage has transformed dramatically over time. For millennia, it functioned primarily as an economic alliance between families, with fidelity centered on patriarchy and ensuring patrimony. Only since Romanticism in the late 18th century did marriage evolve into a relationship based on love rather than duty. Today, we expect partners to fulfill multiple contradictory roles: best friends, passionate lovers, co-parents, financial partners, and spiritual companions. We seek both stability and adventure within the same relationship. This creates marriages where infidelity shouldn't happen, yet it does, and these love-based marriages often leave us more vulnerable than pragmatic ones. "It was like my whole life had been erased," Jillian describes after discovering her husband's 8-year affair. The revelation creates a desperate need to reweave her life's tapestry as she aligns memories with newly revealed reality. Technology has become the primary revealer of affairs while preserving evidence that allows betrayed partners to reconstruct timelines of deception. This creates what psychiatrist Anna Fels calls the loss of a coherent narrative, perhaps the greatest betrayal of all. For many, infidelity isn't just a loss of love, but a loss of self. "I am now a member of the cuckolded wives club. You made me this person." When love goes plural, the spell of oneness breaks. Post-affair therapy is volatile, with weeks of careful reconstruction potentially crumbling from a single remark. The unfaithful partner bears primary responsibility for repair, including the crucial transfer of vigilance, taking on the role of addressing the affair rather than trying to forget it. While trauma dominates infidelity discussions, jealousy remains fundamental to love. Ayala Mollack-Pines calls it the shadow of love, affirming we value our partner and relationship. The Greek root zelos means zeal, suggesting something worth fighting for rather than mere victimization. Many couples hesitate to admit the intense erotic charge that sometimes follows affair discovery. Polly confesses that during sex, she imagines being her husband's mistress, a voluptuous Spanish bartender with big boobs and an accent, feeling both aroused and humiliated afterward. Sexologist Jack Morin identifies longing, desire for what's absent, as the primary cornerstone of eroticism. Fear of loss can rekindle dormant flames, with jealousy acting as an unexpected aphrodisiac. The dagger of romantic betrayal swings us between depression and indignation, from collapse to counterattack. The vengeful heart proves wickedly imaginative in its responses to betrayal. Affairs often occur in response to confronting mortality, following losses, tragedies, health scares, or symbolic deaths like infertility or unemployment. Faced with life's brevity, people refuse to settle for a half-lived existence. This thirst for life overwhelms with irresistible force. Sometimes, when seeking another's gaze, we're not turning away from our partner, but from who we've become, searching not for another lover, but another version of ourselves. Consider Priya, who, despite having a seemingly perfect marriage with Colin, great kids, financial stability, careers they love, is having an affair with a tattooed arborist completely unlike anyone she'd normally date. As a dutiful Indian immigrant's daughter who always excelled academically and married the right guy, Priya has wondered about life beyond being good. Her affair isn't about marital problems, but about identity, a belated adolescent rebellion as she approaches 50 while watching her teenage daughters enjoy freedoms she never experienced. What if the affair had nothing to do with you? This question seems ludicrous to betrayed partners who experience infidelity as a direct personal attack. When exploring why people stray, conventional wisdom points to either marital problems or individual flaws. But medicalizing infidelity through attachment disorders, sex addiction, or genetic explanations often bypasses the deeper meaning-making process. I frequently meet people who insist, "I love my spouse, we are best friends and happy together, but I am having an affair." This challenges our assumption that good intimacy guarantees fidelity. Affairs often reflect an existential conflict within us. We crave both security and adventure, stability and novelty. As psychoanalyst Stephen Mitchell notes, these fundamental needs pull us in opposite directions throughout our lives. Modern romance promises we can satisfy both in one relationship, and during the honeymoon phase, this seems possible. However, as we make love more secure, we inevitably dial down its intensity. The question persists: isn't widespread infidelity proof that monogamy contradicts human nature? Some suggest consensual non-monogamy could eliminate pain and deceit, while others insist on exclusive commitment. Even with freedom to pursue other partners, we remain drawn to the forbidden. All relationships have boundaries that invite trespassers. Breaking rules creates excitement, regardless of how lenient those rules are. Today's non-monogamists aren't rejecting commitment, but pursuing authenticity through connections that maintain their sense of self. To meaningfully critique monogamy, we should examine fidelity more deeply. What if fidelity meant relational constancy, encompassing respect, loyalty, and emotional intimacy, which may or may not include sexual exclusivity? What remains after infidelity's crisis passes? I've identified three post-infidelity outcomes for couples who stay together: sufferers, builders, and explorers. Sufferers remain trapped in the past, mired in endless bitterness. Builders value their commitment and shared life, moving past infidelity to restore a peaceful version of their previous relationship. For explorers, the affair becomes a catalyst for transformation. These couples experience a rekindling of desire, anxiety, and lust sparked by fear of loss. They turn infidelity into an enlarging emotional journey, speaking of our crisis rather than "what you did to me." While many relationships end after infidelity, others survive and revive. Affair proofing through surveillance often backfires, creating what Catherine Frank calls the enhanced eroticization of transgressions. Trust isn't about certainty, but about coping with uncertainty, a confident relationship to the unknown. The challenge is finding ways to collaborate in transgression, creating authentic, illicit experiences that activate erotic energy within the relationship.